The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. If your energy level and health are not where they should be, tune into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Our program will showcase experts from the field of energy medicine, and most importantly, we'll show you how to repattern and optimize your energy flow for optimal health and wellness. Now, here is Dr. Ann Deatley.
You have tuned in to Energy Medicine Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. Energy medicine is a method of working with the body's energy systems to help create balance and optimal health and wellness. Remember, everything is energy and energy is everywhere. Energies control how you feel, what you think, and how you live your life. Energy is all there is. The topic today is soul retrieval. We come into this world as radiant and magnificent beings. Our lives are intended to be full of wonder and joy, laughter and love. But often, somewhere along the way, something happens and we feel impelled to start hiding our true selves under layers of illusion and story for protection. Eventually, we may come to forget who we really are, who we truly are. We start to believe we are our stories. We create a false identity and false beliefs for ourselves. Because of these subconscious beliefs, we receive what we believe. Everything that happens to us is actually designed by our higher selves to teach us the lesson we chose to learn in this lifetime. We may not learn the lessons if we identify with our wounds, our pain, and our traumas. Soul retrieval can return us to the vital aspects of self, personality, and energy, which can become lost through childhood and adult trauma. Soul retrieval helps reconnect to our true selves and purpose. Soul retrieval reminds us that we are radiant, joyful beings. Today I have a special guest. Dawn Paul is a member of the Complementary Medical Association. She is also an energy master, an international shamanic healer, a theta healer, an EFT or emotional freedom technique practitioner, a life coach, and a spiritual teacher. Dawn has studied with Alberto Villaldo, who is a PhD at the Healing the Light Body School, and then studied under Carla Fox and Jose Luis Herrera of the Rainbow Jaguar Institute. Dawn is the founder of the Quero Ani Fund and author of the book, A Healer of Souls. Today, Dawn practices EFT, spiritual coaching, theta healing, shamanic healing, and soul retrieval. And you can learn more about Dawn at her website, www.liberate-online.co.uk. So that's www.liberate-online.co.uk. Welcome, Dawn.
Hi, Anne. Thank you for inviting me onto the show.
Well, we are very happy to have you here because you have some special gifts that you're going to share with us tonight. So how did you begin, or how did you come to be an energy master?
A shamanic healer? It's quite a long story. I'll try and be brief. Effectively, I think I've been on a spiritual search for most of my life. Probably started when I was about 3 and started asking lots of questions and always kind of as aware of another reality and kind of went on a spiritual search in earnest from about the age of 16, but just couldn't, find my way and ended up, lots of jobs. I've been working in finance for 20 years. But, really my heart lay with, the spiritual stuff. So I'd come home and read. And it's like I was pushed to find something constantly, but I could never find it. And of course, as you can imagine, that got, you know, incredibly frustrating after, you know, a good 20 years or so. So I kind of gave up. I got very angry, very upset, because I'd sort of done everything, tried everything, and I ended up going on holiday to Peru. And while I was at Peru at Machu Picchu, I had a vision of the Inca and at Machu Picchu, and they told me to follow the path of the shaman, which was a very kind of scary experience, but kind of also a wonderful one at the same time, you know, obviously giving me information that I've been looking for many, many years. So it's quite odd. I think when you give up looking sometimes, then whatever it was you're looking for finds you. And it all started from there, basically. Mm-hmm. So I ended up having to come home and give up my six-figure salary and my lifestyle and you know, take a leap of faith and train. But it was kind of odd because it was like I already knew the work. It's like I was remembering it. Mm-hmm. And when I was at Machu Picchu, I got shown that I had actually been there before in a former lifetime. So it kind of, the jigsaw pieces started coming together then, finally, after many, many years.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about theta healing, because I'm not sure everybody understands what theta healing is.
Okay. Theta healing is something that was created relatively recently by a lady called Vianna Stiebel in the States. And it's a system of checking people's limiting beliefs and then removing them from the subconscious and then downloading sort of programs and new beliefs and more positive beliefs into the subconscious. Because sometimes, you know, these beliefs can keep us in a loop. And and I think that it's just kind of a nice little addition to the shamanic healing. I mean, you know, if I explain my work to you, it's kind of 80% shamanic healing, which includes as part of it soul retrieval, because that is a shamanic practice. And then the things like the EFT, the life coaching, the theta healing, just kind of add a little added bonuses just to really, you know, complete that circle.
I see. So let's talk about shamanic healing, because that's really what the majority of your work is.
Yes. Yeah.
So it can heal emotional, mental, spiritual, and energetic wounds in a very gentle yet deep way. But tell us more. That sounds very interesting.
But it's quite a difficult thing to explain. But effectively, as you said in your introduction, you know, we have things happen to us, you know, maybe starts in childhood, adulthood, and it creates an energetic burden and an emotional burden and a mental burden. And many therapies will operate or look at one of those modes. So therapy, for example, will look at the, you know, the mental side of things. And the reason I love shamanic healing is because it operates on all levels of a person's being. So if something happens to you, it happens to you on all levels of your being. It just doesn't happen on the one level. So the energetic level happens on the emotional, etc., and even the spiritual levels. So it's very important, therefore, for true healing to take place, that the issue is addressed on all of those levels. And shamanism is the medicine of the first peoples of the earth. So it's the most ancient form of medicine that there is. And you know, it really works at a very, very deep level. If you imagine that a person's issue is like a dandelion, a lot of therapists will just kind of, you know, snap off the head and the leaves, but the shamanic healing gets right down to the root. So, for example, somebody may present with an issue and it's causing certain problems in this lifetime, but actually the root of it, or even a disease, but the root of it may be in a past life, for example. And
okay.
So when you pull out the dandelion by the root, then, as we know, they don't grow again.
Mm-hmm.
And the person can move forward. So it uses a combination of things, and interestingly, there are different lineages of shamanism all over the world, but they have a a kind of common theme in that we operate in the three worlds. So there's this world, a middle world, a lower world, and an upper world. And they kind of also relate to the different realms of consciousness. And the shaman's job really is to travel between those three worlds and heal and also return parts of the person that are lost in those places. Because when we experience trauma, we kind of shatter. Our soul's very fragile. So aspects of us sort of splinter off. And in order for a person to be completely well and healed, they need to have those parts returned. So not only the issue healed and resolved, whatever's happened in the past, but also the lost parts returned. So the person is returned to wholeness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that is very interesting. So most of us probably live in, I guess most of us want to live in the middle world when we're on Earth.
We live in the middle world. Yes, we exist in the middle world. But the aspects of consciousness operate also on an underworld basis. It's a lower world and then an underworld. The underworld is unconscious. The lower world is the subconscious, and then the upper world is the superconscious. So because we actually exist on all levels of those beings, therefore healing needs to operate on all of those levels. So the shaman's job throughout, time, it is to go up and down between those worlds and to explore them and to locate the missing aspects or the healing resources that a person needs in order for them to move forward.
Okay, so and to become whole, to become all here.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So when we meditate, for example, we're still in the middle world. Or do we go to our upper world or super world?
Yeah, often we can go into the superconscious realm and the upper realm. Similarly, we can drop right down into the quantum field. So the shaman changes his or her state of consciousness in order to access those different states of awareness. So often a method is used. So it could be a singing or a chanting. It could be, many cultures use a drum. Some use a rattle, for example. Mm-hmm. Some would use a whistle. But it's, telling the body basically, to go into a different state.
Oh, I see. The body is, you kind of guide the body to where it needs to go to become healed, to get that other shattered, that fragment or that shattered piece or whatever.
Well, for example, the rattle itself, and I use two at the same time, it serves two purposes. So firstly, if you imagine that, obviously that there's a physical body and then there's the energy body like an aura or an egg around the physical body. So trauma is stored in the energy body. And so the rattle, the sound of the rattle, will shatter that heavy energy, as we call it, two types of energy. So heavy energy, light energy.
So it's a frequency of energy that you're using with that rattle.
Well, the shaman would say there's only two forms of energy, light energy, heavy energy.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
So the idea is you must transmute the heavy energy into light energy. So a way to do that would be to break up the heavy energy with the vibration, which is, vibrational medicine, of the rattle, and actually clear out what we call backwashing the chakras, so clearing out the trauma, clearing out the energy from the chakras. Mm-hmm. And then the rattle has a dual purpose of then with the rhythm that it makes, the sound that it makes, puts the shaman into a hypnagogic state, like trance state. Mm-hmm. And then in that state, we can access these different worlds and go on our little journeys and also help take our clients on journeys if necessary. But the important thing to bear in mind and the beauty of shamanic healing is people don't need to have an interest in it. They don't need to understand it. They don't even need to believe in it. But it's worked for hundreds of thousands of years. It is the oldest medicine of the earth. So it's the shaman that's going between the worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you learn how to do that? I mean, as a shaman, are you born with that capability?
I think so. I mean, I'd spent many years meditating anyway, and I've always in a little world of my own. I mean, to me, being in this world is kind of the weirdest place, if that makes sense. And I think that's the same for many shaman. And so, and obviously the training helps, And the fact is, you know, that as I saw at Machu Picchu, I've done this in many, many lifetimes. So it's kind of very much remembered by my body and my consciousness.
Interesting. So you carried the energy of that in with you, probably.
Yeah, which is the thing that's obviously been poking me.
Yeah, it's like, keep going, keep looking.
Yeah, I know. It was horrendous, horrendous.
But you didn't give up, really.
I mean, the Sherman is the hardest, and I don't really think they're joking either.
Interesting. So you also wrote a book called A Healer of Souls.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the story behind that book?
Well, when I had the vision of the Inca, they basically said, you follow this path and we will help you. And they really have. I mean, you know, from the moment I was available to start working, I had, like, clients the next day. And it's not stopped. You know, I work worldwide because shamanic healing is non-local, which means it doesn't happen in the place that you're at. It always happens in another dimension. So it doesn't matter if the client's in front of me or if they're in Australia or Korea or wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I did recognize that I could only see so many people. I only have 3 sessions a day, and therefore there's only so many people that I can see. And I was asked by a literary agent if I would write a book about, you know, the Machu Picchu story and my story and my work. And it was kind of hard to know how to put that together. And initially I wrote it from a client case study basis,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of the notes on the teachings, if you like. And then one day I was working with a client, and she'd been coming for, you know, a little while, but she'd always have a cup of tea and a chat, and it was all very pleasant. And she never got around to telling me what was wrong with her. And one day I said to her, look, are you actually going to, you know, are we going to get down to work? And she burst into tears, and she said, oh, I can't tell you about my past because I'm too ashamed, and you're too perfect. And I was like, I'm not perfect. And suddenly I realized that I had to really put a lot of myself into the book and my story into the book, because when I was on my spiritual search, which, as you now know, is extremely long and arduous, I found it very frustrating with the books that were written from the perspective that, of, you know, I am enlightened and I'm kind of looking down upon you and this is how you get here. I kind of wanted to write a book that was about, you know, I am walking with you. These are the mistakes that I've made. These are the things that you could, you know, do and avoid mistakes. And not that there really is anything such as a mistake, but I wanted to walk along the healing path with people and show, you know, that yes, I too had fallen down. These are the pitfalls, because the book's split into about 13 chapters. So each chapter has a story about my life, client studies relating to the theme of the chapter, and then notes relating to the theme of the chapter. So it's intended for the general public, and the aim is that there's something in there for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hear so many, I'm very interested in the soul. But everybody seems to think about the soul in a different way. So I'm just curious, what is your definition of soul? When you say a healer of souls, what are you referring to?
Okay, well, the title of the book is different. The title of the book is a title that I was given during a personal development seminar, which I really didn't understand because I was still in banking at the time. But as I came to this work, I realized how apt it was, because with spirit release work, obviously, you're not only helping the client that's come to see you, but the soul, the spirit of whoever's attached to them. And sometimes that can be more than one soul or person. So that was the reason for the title of the book. But
okay.
The shamanic view of the soul is that it's very, very fragile, like thin glass, and it is easily shattered. Therefore, it has a very strong protection mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about soul retrieval. Well, in order to need your soul retrieved, it needs to be lost in the first place. And many, many things would cause that to happen. And as you said in the introduction, it begins in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And soul loss often occurs between the ages of 0 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
and then it's set up in a repeating pattern. So you'll often find that people have the same experiences through life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it might be.
So is this more of an emotional trauma?
Yeah, it could be so emotional trauma. It could be, it could be a parent leaves, for example. It could be sexual abuse. Anything at all, really. And also, when the child realizes it isn't indestructible. We have children that they leap off things and climb up things, and they kind of just don't really realize that, there could be any danger or they could be hurt. And often when they are hurt or a family member is ill, and all of a sudden they start going, maybe this world is not so safe after all, and soul loss can happen then. And it can happen in later life, even during a particularly nasty divorce, it can happen. Or if a partner dies, people talk about soul loss all the time, kind of obliquely. So they'll say, kind of a part of me died when she died.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've never been the same since a car accident.
Mm.
And the fact is, that they aren't the same, and they aren't the same for good reason. So, the best example of soul loss that you see all the time is when you read about, it's not a very nice example, but when you read about a lady that's been raped in the magazine or newspaper, and she often will say that she looked down upon the whole thing while it was happening. So that's where the soul has not wanted to be in the physical vehicle while the event was taking place. So literally it would come out of the physical vehicle and hover above the body. And then so after the event, if you imagine that, the easiest way to describe it is to imagine that the body is like the skin of an orange and the soul is like the juicy segments. So if you imagine that, 8 juicy segments of orange come out of the body during the attack, not all of the segments will go back. So if you've ever seen anybody that has been severely traumatized, they've kind of look a little bit kind of dead, and they're not really here. They just don't really seem here. They have trouble kind of reconnecting. And that's because not all of their segments came back. Mm-hmm. So some of their segments of soul have gone to the lower world, which is not a hellish place at all. It's just another realm. And they've gone there for safety, for safekeeping, because soul is fragile, so it's a protection mechanism.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like it really is. The main thing is to really protect it, and when it's ready or when the time's right, it could come back together.
It could.
Even though it probably doesn't happen automatically.
Very occasionally, it does spontaneously.
But
the problem is when that person, let's say that rape victim, for example, sexual abuse victim, goes through that. They numb. They're numbed down, and it's to enable the body and the soul to cope, because it would be too terrible, really, for the person to have all of their awareness with them when that's gone on. So they're kind of purposefully numbed. That's quite a clever mechanism when you look at it. But obviously, after the person has healed, then they kind of need those segments back. They need their juicy segments back, because those segments hold kind of personality and energy and, personal traits of the person. And they need to be back in the physical vehicle so that the person can be whole again.
Right. So does
the
body...
can be back in the orange.
No.
It's quite a difficult thing to explain, but I hope that makes sense.
That really... I love the metaphor of the orange. That's perfect. Yeah.
So
does the body know who can help?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
It does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what I see often with clients when they come, they normally come once a month, is that the week before they come, they'll say, I was fine for the first few weeks, and then the last week I've been absolutely terrible, but because the body knows when the person's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of raises issues up to the surface sooner, like the cream comes up to the surface on milk.
Right, right.
And then, of course, I come along and skim it all off.
So that's good. Yeah, so the body's preparing for the visit
with
you.
Yeah, body prepares, body knows. And I think if I've appreciated anything doing this work, I've been doing it full-time for 9 years now, it is the supreme intelligence of the body. It's unbelievable. I knew it was clever from biological aspect that it was very, very clever, but now understanding it, the things that it does, the things that it tries to show us, even through illness and disease, it's very rarely the illness and the disease. They're just like a warning bell. They're like a flag symptom. Look, healing needs to be done here.
Right. And do you think that the illness comes as like, okay, well, you're not getting the subtle messages, so here's a stronger message?
Yes, often.
Yeah.
I mean, often, I had a friend that had breast cancer, and she said that, it really showed her that she had stuff that she needed to get sorted out. Because, we try and cope with life. I mean, it's difficult for all of us. We've all got, a cross to bear. And particularly men are very, very good at squishing down their stuff. Mm-hmm. And going, well, that happened, and I'm going to try and move forward. But we can't. If we push things down. Remember once I had a lady that her son had killed somebody in his car, a young girl, accidentally. And they lived in a very small village, and the whole village refused to speak to them. We call it send them to Coventry. So, and this woman was, distraught because obviously her son was very badly damaged, felt terrible for the little girl, and then nobody would speak to her. And she had cancer of the bladder, and the tumor was so big, it was like a football. And I said to her, what did you do with all of that, anger and grief and upset? She said, I just shoved it down. And I said, look where your hand is now. And it was over the bladder.
Mm.
So these things, they kind of fester away. It takes a while, It does take a while. But, they fester away, and they need to be healed. So, if I could say anything to your listeners is sort your stuff out. Seek healing. There's no shame. I often have people that have been sexually abused, because I kind of specialize in sexual abuse in females and males. And they often sort of tell me, and they've not told anybody else. And as if they're ashamed of it. I mean, what do they have to be ashamed about?
Mm.
They didn't do anything wrong.
Right. But that's sort of our society, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But they really didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And I think the reason that I love this work is because, my belief is that we have these challenges, we have them for a reason, but we need to get them healed and get ourselves whole again, and so we can move forward and create the life of our dreams.
Beautiful, yeah. Yeah, and we can't do that if we're not whole.
No.
Or it's a lot harder. Let me say that. It's a lot harder if we're not completely whole.
Yeah.
And we haven't resolved all the issues that sort of inhibit our true selves, right? I mean, I think really living
ourselves.
The life you want is really knowing who you are and what your special gifts are.
That's
so you can flow through life. Say it again.
Everybody has gifts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody has a light that they can, bring to the world. Another thing is, sometimes people do things that are wrong. And then we have, even though we may not be religious, we have quite strong beliefs about God and or the divine or spirit or whatever you call it. And I've had situations with people that have done something wrong, and then they've gone, right, that's it for me. I'm going to go to hell. So they'll kind of do something else wrong and something else wrong and something else wrong and kind of get deeper and deeper and deeper into that hole.
Mm.
And it's about recognizing that, we're all forgiven, we're all loved, and we just have to forgive ourselves often.
Right. I think maybe that's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Is forgiving ourselves. Okay, with that, we have to break for commercial, and we'll be right back.
Okay, great.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Why do people behave the way they do? The study of human behavior is one of the most interesting facets of life. Human behavior gets played out in a limitless number of ways. Now, there's a radio program that explains the why and the how of what we do. Human Behavior, What a Trip, is hosted by Dr. Jonathan Brower and will include interesting guests as well as call interaction from people like you. Let's have fun with this together. Listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you're looking for answers and solutions, you don't have to look to expensive treatments, consultations, and methods. All you have to do is listen to your connections. Every week, the Dr. Melanie Show will teach you how to do just that. Dr. Melanie Barton will share her gifts and talents and teach you to do the same. And in doing so, find the solutions to the issues in your life that you truly need. You'll learn about holistic and practical health in six key areas. Discover the Dr. Melanie Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
Hi, you are back with Ann Dietley, Dr. Ann Dietley, the Radiant Energy Doctor, and we're talking to Dawn Paul, who's a healer of many sorts, and we're talking about shamanism and about soul retrieval. And so let's talk about the process of soul retrieval. So what, you know, if somebody comes to you, and so how do you start? How do you start the process?
Okay. Well, the first thing to remember is that in order for there to be a need for soul retrieval, there has to have been the soul loss and some form of trauma or upset. So the important thing is, sorry, I've got a kitten and he's just about to eat the phone line. The important thing is that the original trauma is healed, first of all. So normally in the first appointment, we'll work on clearing that from the energy body, clearing that from, you know, the emotional self, getting the person to have a different vantage point on what's happened. So as you said in the introduction, that these things that happen to us very rarely happen, you know, as a punishment, will never happen as a punishment. They're set up by our higher selves so that in this lifetime our soul can have a certain level of learning and evolve. Because that's obviously the purpose of life, you know, to evolve. So the first stage is to clear, to heal the original trauma. And then after, when that's done, because obviously the soul part left because it didn't feel safe in the physical body.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So therefore, if you go and get it and bring it back and put it back into the physical body, but the original trauma's still there, maybe the person's dysfunctional, maybe they've got lots of anger and rage, maybe they've got wounded in a child, for example, then it's going to go again. And also it's going to be very difficult for me to persuade it to come back. Yeah? So, and I don't want to be doing that. I don't want to be dragging things back to somewhere it doesn't want to be, because again, it's, you know, it's soul is a delicate thing. So once the person is, the trauma's healed, the chakras are going nicely in the right direction, and they have a different perspective on what's happened to them, then we do the soul retrieval. And basically it's extremely easy for the client or the patient, because they just lie there. And we just get them nice and relaxed, because the more relaxed they are, then the easier it is for me to access the different levels of consciousness. And then the shaman uses their tool, which is dependent on their lineage, so a drum, a rattle, a whistle, to change their state of consciousness and their state of awareness into a hypnagogic state, which is a light trance state, and then journey often with a paranormal or a spirit helper, into the lower world, which has various guardians and a kind of a map, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And the journey normally is that you visit the different chambers of the soul. So you heal the original wounding on that soul level. You find out any contracts that have been made that are causing certain beliefs to be repeated in the, with the client. And then you look for the healed soul part. And that shows itself for me. It shows itself as the person looks now, if it left in a former life, because of course, we can have soul loss from this life and also soul loss from former lives. Or if it happened in this lifetime, it shows itself as at the age at which this soul loss occurred, often with some indicator, like it might show me the teddy bear that this person had when they were eight, when this trauma mm-hmm. occurred, for example, or a special dress or shoes, something that the person liked. And very often also it can show itself as an object. So once I remember I did a soul retrieval for a friend and I found in a beautiful castle on a marble floor a huge diamond. And I was looking around, you know, for more of a, like a person figure. And all of a sudden I realized, no, the soul is represented by this diamond.
Mm.
And when you bring these parts back, you kind of reintroduce the person to this lost aspect of self. And I remember asking my friend, you know, ask it, why has it shown itself as a diamond? And she said, because it returns my beauty and my preciousness to me.
Oh, wow.
Which is very, very beautiful.
Mm.
So,
wow.
And then also we go...
So often it does speak in symbols, right?
Yes. The soul works in symbols very often. And also we retrieve a gift for the person, which is often a resource that helps the person move forward. And in the early stages, we also bring to the person what we call a power animal.
Yeah.
So again, that is like a helper animal, spirit animal, that's going to help them on their journey between now and death in this lifetime. So they have lots of resources. The idea of shamanic healing is they're not dependent. People don't become dependent on the shaman. They have all of the resources they need and the strength they need and the support they need to move forward in life. So it's very, very beautiful work.
So do they choose their paramil or?
No, it just comes.
Imagine
I'm almost going down with like a shopping trolley. And, you know, and I'm shown things, I'm given things to return. So I'm basically going down and coming back up and then bringing these things back to the person. And 9 times out of 10, the person will go, oh, my God, I collect figures of this animal, or somebody gave me a present of a box and it had this animal on it, or I see these all the time, or even I'm scared of these, you know. But they'll have a strong connection with their power animal.
Wow. Very interesting. Okay, so let's go back to that whole concept that we're born as radiant, joyful beings, and your goal for shamanic healing is to help people discover who they really are and connect to that radiance and joy that is who they really are. So do you have stories of, you know, people being really negative and then getting really joyful and once their soul is back together?
Yeah, obviously, as I said, I specialize in healing sexual abuse, and that's tremendously difficult event for a person to deal with, particularly if it's a parent, because obviously when we're smaller, you know, our parents are gods.
Mm-hmm.
And but for all of us, you know, we are at source, we are the divine. Really, if you imagine that inside all of us is a diamond and it's just covered over with layers and layers of dirt or overcoats or, you know, blankets, however you want to visualize it. But healing really is about peeling away those layers.
Right.
And then
uncovering that diamond.
Diamond to shine
yeah.
in the world. Because really that's what we've all come to do, to find our own light and the light of the divine and to let that shine in the world. Whatever our religion really, I think that runs through all of the religions. And so the healing process, therefore, is to bring the person back to that state of wholeness. And as I said, in, you know, the sexual abuse cases, I've had instances where people have actually sat down and discussed matters with their abusers, their fathers, or written to them, or even, you know, started to create a relationship with them again and tried to gain some understanding of it from that higher viewpoint. Mm-hmm. So in shamanism, we have on three levels of perception. So we have the serpent, which is very, you know, if you imagine the serpent, its body is always connected to the earth. So these are like the lowest needs, such as food and water and sex. And then we have the jaguar, which is the emotional center, the emotional needs, which is held in the second chakra, just below the belly button.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have above that the eagle perspective, which an eagle is often a symbol of spirit, because obviously the eagle goes from the earth to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So often we get caught in the jaguar perspective. This happened to me. This is my story. Mm-hmm. In the book, I describe a lady that came that had written out her story, and seriously, it was the size of a telephone directory.
Oh, my gosh.
And she started to read, you know, page one, you know, I was born, this happened, page two, you know. And I was like, you have to stop this. Really, you need to, you know, burn this. You need to destroy this. You need to get rid of it. And she was like, no, no, this is my story. I bet you've never had anybody as bad as I am. Like, nobody's had a story more difficult than mine. And people become so attached to their stories, they create an identity out of them.
Absolutely,
yeah. And often, for me, the difficult thing is not to do the healing, it's to move the person away from the attachment of their story.
Okay. Oh, that's beautiful.
And their identity as a wounded person.
Yeah. So, and in that, that's the transformation there.
Absolutely. But yeah. The problem is, if the trauma has happened or the event happened when the person was young and now they're 45 or 60, that identity has been their identity for a very, very long time.
Right, right. So it's harder to let go.
Yeah. So even though their behavior may be dysfunctional now, that it's dysfunctional because there's a gain. So they, you know, if there's any dysfunction, it's because there's a gain in the behavior. And the gain is they know that self. They know the victim self. Mm-hmm. They know the wounded self. You know,
yeah, they probably they know that know. Self better than any other self.
Well, any other self, you know.
Yeah.
So it's actually, therapists must understand that it's very scary for a person to move into a healed state because they have no idea of who they will be. So the beauty of shamanism is that we start to create that future self, that healed self, in the mind of the person so that they can understand what they're moving to, who they're moving to, what it feels like to be this person. And so shamanism is very much about life and death, or death and rebirth, because we're trying to kill off, in a way, the old self, the victim self, the traumatized self, the ill self, whatever that is, and then go into the rebirth of the new self, which can be created in each moment.
Right.
So this takes, you know, quite a bit of work and quite a bit of support, but and also a lot of willingness on behalf of, you know, the client.
Right.
Because it takes a lot of courage to let go of the old, even though they may be very unhappy in their old life, you know.
Right.
It's still, they know it. It's the devil that they know.
Right. So you must have people that are courageous, but to begin, and maybe they just lose courage as the process uncovers.
Well, remember, you know, we've got the process of soul retrieval, so we've cleared away the original trauma. They've got their segments back, their soul parts back. They've got the resources that those soul parts have. They've got the gift. They've got power animals. They probably, most people need, you know, more than one soul retrieval because, of course, they, throughout lives and past lives, there can be many, many circumstances of soul loss. And then, you know, I also do, I've created a therapy called power retrieval. This is when people purposely get rid of an aspect of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're constantly building up the person
Okay.
And walking with them,
mm-hmm.
allow them to step into this new life. And the reason I like this work is that it does work, and people do move forward, and they do it relatively quickly.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, Rome wasn't built in a day. If someone's had a traumatized life for 50 years, they're not going to have, one session and be completely healed, but they have one session and feel a lot better.
Right.
So as with anything, it is a journey. It's a healing journey.
Right. And you offer the support.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going with them.
Yeah, going with them, walking with them.
And you're the guide. You are one of the guides, I guess.
Well, yeah, and ultimately, the future self of the person, the healed self, is they're introduced to that person, and that helps to guide them as well. So, in any situation, they're like, well, what would the old me do now? What is my old pattern in this circumstance? But what would the new me do now? What am I going to do differently in this situation? So maybe I'm not going to react like that, or maybe I won't do that, or maybe I won't even eat this, because I'm going to look after my body.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually they start to become the person that they always wanted to be and that they have a right to be.
Right.
And that to me is worth it.
Yeah, it's worth all the work.
And that's a journey I've tried to take people on through the book as well, because I appreciate not everybody wants the sessions or can have the sessions, and also there's only so much time,
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, this has been so much fun and so interesting. I still have a lot more to learn about this, and I'm sure others would be interested in your book and to kind of get a little deeper into this whole thing and see what resonates with them. But I invite you to learn more about Dawn and what she does at her website, www.liberate-online.co.uk. And everybody, live radiantly. Thank you very much, Dawn.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Please join us again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for tuning in.